edition of Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Over the next 5 weeks, you'll be hearing the name DeAndre Ayton a lot. You'll be hearing the name Luka Doncic a lot, and you'll be hearing a lot of talk about what the Phoenix Suns and Ryan McDonough are going to do at the top of the 2018 NBA draft, which is June 21st. Here to talk about DeAndre Ayton, the former U of A star, is Steve Rivera of AllSportsTucson.com, who joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon, guys. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Steve.
I was just bringing this up. I brought this up in the last segment. First time ever the Suns have the number one pick. Could be an Arizona player for the first time in history, which I didn't even realize until I looked into it a little bit more. Kind of strange, isn't it?
It is, but not. I was at the 1998 draft when Mike Bibby had a chance to get drafted number one by the Los Angeles Clippers, but deal with the Los Angeles Clippers, so they screwed that up.
Yes, they did.
Right. Exactly. All right, Steve, I want to ask you this. Take your time and paint an expansive picture of what you know, what you think, what you've learned about while covering DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, let me set it up by this. We got very little access to DeAndre throughout the year, but what we could tell of him near the end of the year and talking to him, what a great guy, very affable, friendly, well-spoken, and he's only 18, 19 years old. That's the good news. The good thing is I have very little bad news. I mean, this guy can play. He's a freak athletically. He's a freak body-wise, everything. He's absolutely great. And let me say this. Last year when Markkanen played here, I said I had never seen a guy play like him that was that big, mobile and all that. And I've been covering Arizona basketball for 30 years now. This guy is on that level, if not better, just doing different things.
Steve Rivera, AllSportsTucson.com, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. You mentioned it, 30 years you've been watching U of A basketball, and they've had a parade of players go into the NBA in that time. At the college level, and I know it's the case for freshmen, Steve, that he was the most dominant freshman in U of A history. Have you seen anybody who can rival him from any class or any point in their career in a U of A uniform in terms of dominance?
No, not really. And I'll rank them this way. Ayton, Bibby, Gilbert Arenas, and after that, I couldn't tell you who. Sean Elliott, but I didn't cover Sean Elliott. So those top four in that order, if not Sean being... Sean had a fabulous first year, too, but I didn't cover him.
Uh-huh. All right, Steve, I'm blown away by the fact that under Sean Miller that your access was actually limited to these players during the season. I'm kind of blown away by that. So sorry for being taken aback here. What did it say to you going into that Oregon game when DeAndre Ayton was either falsely or otherwise named in Mark Schlabaugh's report for him to handle that adversity the way he did? What did you see from the kid in the eye of that storm?
Well, he was fantastic through the whole thing. It seemed like a guy, at least appeared as a guy, who was not guilty of anything. So you just go about your business and say what you say, and I had no part of it, and just continued to play. And let's remember, he's only 18 years old. He's a very young guy. You know, I can't remember being 18 and that cool. Hell, I'm 50 and not that cool.
Steve, when you look at it from your personal experience of watching him on a day-in, day-out basis on the basketball court, we always hear defense needs to improve. Offensively, he's pretty polished for a kid of that age and that size. Defensively, what specifically stands out to you in terms of what DeAndre Ayton needs to improve on?
What he needs to improve on? I think he's a very good shot blocker when he's given that opportunity. I think his timing could be a little bit better, but, you know, I'm only 5'10". What do I know about being a 7-footer? He's athletic, so he has a lot of room to improve with that. He'll probably get even in better shape if that's possible. Probably his mobility side to side, but he could defend people on the perimeter because of his mobility. Mm-hmm. You've seen guys at the NBA level for a long time. You know it takes them a little while to get adjusted. I think it'll take him a little while, but he's not a project. He's good to go, which is not easy to say when you're 18 years old.
All right. One of the things I saw, and this, again, this is a very rudimentary observation on my behalf from going and just watching a lot of film on DeAndre Ayton or clips or whatever. And the one thing I saw was just his handle wasn't great when he got the ball in the post. It looks like he plays patty cake with the basketball rather than dribbling it. Am I way off base? Is his handle a concern on any level on the next level?
Yeah. Well, what would you rate it from 1 to 10?
I would say 6, 6.5.
Yeah, okay. I would say it's probably a little bit better than that, 7.5, 8.
Okay.
I get that. But you remember I covered a guy named Ed Stokes who was similarly built and didn't have the handle that this kid had, even as a senior.
Okay.
And that's no shock about Ed Stokes. I mean, it was what he was. But this guy can handle it. He can dribble it, too. And let's remember, he's 260, 7 foot, 7'1", 260, something like that, and chiseled.
Yeah.
He's not going to have everything, but he has a lot.
Well, and that's what Vinny said. Vinny said, dude, look, the guy is 7'1". I don't need him or want him dribbling the basketball. Okay, there's something, right. something to be said for that. In your opinion, and I don't know how much of Luka Doncic you've seen or heard about, is this a no-brainer pick for the Suns, in your opinion?
I haven't seen much of the kid. I've just seen him on highlights now in the last week. I do think it's a no-brainer. What better, a guy who grew up in or lived in Phoenix for a while, has fans in Tucson, a ton of fans, and I'm not all about that ticket sale stuff because, you know, you can watch him from the TV. But yeah. But I think he'll be a fantastic hit. He'll eat up the media up there because you guys will like him. You'll have access to him. He's a good story. The Suns' work is already done. They won the number one. They're done. They should be done at least.
Yeah.
I know they can't say that they're done, but they're done.
Steve Rivera, AllSportsTucson.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Earlier this week, Steve, and I may have been a little bit hyperbolic in saying this, but I thought in watching Arizona play last season, if they didn't have DeAndre Ayton, they might have been, you know, a 18-win team, maybe even a 500 team. Am I off base? Because I didn't see him getting a lot of help on a night-in, night-out basis.
No, you're probably right. It could have been, you know, 20 and 13 or whatever they ended up being. There's no question. He saved them a lot of nights. They went to him a lot, and he came through a lot. I mean, the first month, he was like you're watching Shaq for a while because of his numbers were so great. But, you know, you had the two other guys. You had Trier, who loves the ball, and you have Alkins, who wanted the ball. So you had a wide spread of talent there that could have helped him probably even more. This should have helped them even more.
Mm-hmm. All right, my last question, Steve. Brandon Williams recommitting to Arizona. Sean Miller apparently still firmly ensconced. The FBI thing, I guess, is still out there. Paint a picture for the mood around the program now and what you see happening in the next few months.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good news coming out of U of A after months of bad news with the FBI investigation, people jumping ship in terms of recruits. But his return helps a lot with credibility, if that's the word I need to use, because Williams has faith that nothing will happen. Sean Miller has said this continuously, that he's not guilty of anything. So the mood here is a lot better than what it was, especially after the Buffalo loss. So if there's hope, Williams gave it to them. I still think that, that U of A is going to find a way to win enough games to finish at least in the top four. I said this before Williams. I think they could finish in the top two, three, or four, something like that. So they get talent again in the right spot. And let me say this. Depth here is overrated because he doesn't go that deep anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He never really has.
That's a good point. I got one football question for you, and it's really, really early in the whole process, but you look at the way the South shakes up out in the Pac-12, Steve, and who was lost and coaching changes and all that. And yes, U of A's got a new coach, but they have also got a Heisman Trophy candidate coming back at that quarterback and a pretty favorable schedule. At least right now, I'm willing to say Arizona is going to be the favorite in the South going into the season. Do you agree?
Wow. No, only because USC is USC, And I do think that they're going to win at least eight games, minimum eight games, because you're right. The schedule is favorable, and that's a good thing to have. There's one thing that no one really talked about because they're already assuming this won't happen. But given the sample size of the last couple of years, Khalil Tate has gotten hurt a couple times in the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
You're assuming that Khalil Tate will not get hurt this year. Yes. And this is football. The last time I checked, so you never know. If he gets hurt, Arizona's in trouble. If he doesn't, this is going to be a good team.
Yeah, Steve, appreciate the time and the insight. Hopefully, we can chat again soon.
Good guys, thanks for talking to you guys.
See you, Steve. Right.
Steve Rivera, AllSportsTucson.com. Our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com.